Full Service Radio programming is available on our website, fullserviceradio.org, and as a podcast, thanks to Simplecast. For more information, visit simplecast.com.
You're tuned in to Full Service Radio.
Full Service Radio.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service.
Full Service Radio.
You are listening to the DC Public Library on Full Service Radio, broadcasting live from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Sorry. I'm your host, Olubunmi Bakari. This is our episode, All Things Local series, where we, the DC Public Library, highlight the local history, culture, communities, personages who have made an impact on Washington, D.C. and the world. My guest today is Cheryl Neal Humphreys. Mrs. Humphreys is a master teacher and longtime metaphysician with over 20 years of experience as a success coach. She has been a student and practitioner of numerology and astrology for more than 40 years. She is a fifth generation Washingtonian, and she is DC's own hidden figure. Mrs. Humphreys has a BA in mathematics education from Georgetown University.
Not Georgetown.
I'm sorry, George Washington.
Don't do that.
University, which she obtained in 1968, and worked for 19 years in the federal government as a mathematician and computer security specialist. Thank you for joining me today, Ms. Humphreys.
Thank you.
Before we begin, I would also like to acknowledge that today is Juneteenth. Juneteenth is celebrated across the U.S., but it's relevant to the state of Texas. So on June 19th, 1865, enslaved Africans in the state of Texas were notified that they were emancipated a full 2 years after the Emancipation Proclamation was issued. So there's several theories around why that happened so late, but you know, effectively went into, they were emancipated today, June 19th, 1865. Okay. Ms. Humphreys, thank you for joining me today. So you're a native Washingtonian, fifth generation. Mm-hmm. What part of the city did you grow up in?
I was born in Northeast in a neighborhood that used to be called Seat Pleasant. Mm-hmm.
And is that near Deanwood?
It's been renamed Deanwood.
Okay.
Yeah. When I grew up, Seat Pleasant spanned part of D.C. and part of Maryland. Mm-hmm. So that's where I grew up.
And what schools did you attend?
I went to Burrville Elementary School, which is still there. Mm-hmm. Sousa Junior High School. I moved to Southeast when I was nine. Mm-hmm. And Anacostia Senior High School. And then GW.
Oh, awesome. Mm-hmm. So this episode, we're going to talk about numerology, you being a master numerologist, studying numbers. Of course, your background is in mathematics.
Yes.
And so tell me a little bit about that. I've had issues with numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to claim that I'm not a math person, mm-hmm. but that is the area in which I struggled the most. Mm-hmm. My brother and sister, they did well with numbers, okay. but me, I struggled. Mm-hmm. And so for you, when did you understand that you had a fascination with numbers?
Well, I never had a fascination with numbers, but here's the thing. I was always really good at it. Mm-hmm. So even when I was in junior high school, today called middle school, I guess, I tutored fellow students of mine, because I was always good at math, and I couldn't understand why people had such a problem with it, because to me it was so simple. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that I was fascinated with it. I think I came into this life being very good at math, and in fact, people around me as I was growing up had different desires, you know, things they wanted to be when they grew up. I never knew what I wanted to be, and I majored in math because I was good at it. It was easy, and everybody made a big deal out of it.
So, and just for people wondering what the connection is between the library and Mrs. Humphreys, mm-hmm. you know, the library is a fascinating place. Besides, you know, my love of books, we also get to engage with patrons from all backgrounds, mm-hmm. all walks of life. And Ms. Humphreys is a frequent visitor to one of our neighborhood libraries.
Gregory is my favorite. Francis Gregory
is her favorite.
But I was taking yoga at Dorothy height until mm-hmm. this yoga class ended. Boo-hoo.
Oh, boo-hoo. Yeah. We'll see about getting that back
good,
up.
Good, yay!
But you find out so many fascinating things about our patrons who frequent the DC Public Library. And so I love numerology, astrology, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. So I've asked Ms. Humphreys to join me. And so if you don't mind sharing with our listeners, you share something with me that happened to you at the age of 7. Something Ooh. That was a transition for you.
A decision that I made at 7?
About, was it dealing with numbers?
No, it didn't have anything to do with numbers.
Okay, then we won't.
Yeah, okay, good. Okay,
never mind, I'm sorry.
That's another conversation.
This is another conversation. Okay, this let's go into numerology. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you worked in the federal government as a mathematician, mm-hmm. Dealing with numbers, obviously. Mm-hmm. So when did you, how did you get into numerology?
Well, actually, when I was, I was probably 9 or 10 or something like that, when my mother, in the old days, they used to have these little teeny books in the grocery stores next to the checkout. And my mother knew I always liked numbers, and I was always good at numbers. And she found a small book on numerology, and she thought, oh, this will be something different than the numbers that she does in school. So she gave it to me. I don't think she would remember this. And I read the whole thing and did my numbers and did her numbers and did my father's numbers and did, you know, numbers, and found out so much information that I was able to help me to understand myself and understand my parents and my cousins and so forth. So I found there's a lot of information, and it very much relates to the mathematics part that I was doing. And so I started studying it and applying it more and more and connecting the two.
And so one of the things, you know, we deal with numbers on a regular basis, mm-hmm. that the address of this hotel, mm-hmm. we have cell phone numbers, mm-hmm. the address of our house, mm-hmm. we use numbers to measure things. Mm-hmm. And so numbers are all around us.
Yes.
Yet when it comes to numerology or astrology and so forth, people say, well, you know, I don't really believe in, you know, mm-hmm. all of that. Mm-hmm. What does that have to do with me? Mm-hmm. What do these numbers have to do with my life? Mm-hmm. What is your take on that?
Well, essentially, everything is energy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we study science, we look at something under the microscope, we can see that although this table looks solid, it really isn't. And so everything is energy, and everything is made up of energy, and energy is everything. Mm-hmm. And numbers is really the language of energy, because everything has its own signature energy. I call it energy, frequency, vibration, or energy, vibration, frequency. So we each vibrate at our own rate, if you will, and so does a chair, and so does anything that can be named. And the way that connects to numerology is that every letter in our alphabet translates to a number from our main number system, which is 0 to 9. And so anything can be translated into its number or its numeric or its energetic frequency. And that frequency has a lot to do with everything, because you attract based on your frequency. You know, we've all heard the term like attracts like. When your frequency is at a certain level, or you have a number in common with someone else, that's a point of attraction. And all points of attraction or of repelling have to do with how well that frequency works with another's. And so your name, I believe that the soul chose the name before we came in, even though, you know, our aunties and our mamas think, you know, oh no, I named her after Cousin Alice. But my understanding from a higher standpoint is that the soul chooses the name, mm-hmm. and the soul chooses the birth date, mm-hmm. the very time that it's going to come into incarnation. And so I don't believe there are any late babies or early babies. And once that happens, the soul has defined, this is what vibration, this is what, for the name, the sum of the vibration that this soul is coming in to. And the soul has a purpose for coming. Mm-hmm. And the personality is also told by the numbers in the name. And the destiny, mm-hmm. most numerologists call it the expression number. All of that is in your name. Mm-hmm. And your birth date tells you what your life lesson is about, the path that you can expect to find in this lifetime. So just with your name at birth and your birth date, you can learn about a lot about yourself, or anyone else for that matter. Mm-hmm. The potential. But because we have free will, we get to actualize that potential or bury it.
So going back just a bit, you mentioned the frequency of the chair and the table. So let's say the chair, you measure its height and its dimensions and so forth. Does that have something to do with the frequency? No.
No.
It's just the fact that it's
dimensions.
It's just dimensions.
That's just the size, dimensions, a way of measure. But if you look at everything is connected to number. Even if you are talking about the dimension of something, that gives you a visualization, a place to see where that's going to fit. I know when I first moved out on my own, I would, you know, look at apartments and draw the floor plan and draw the furniture and where it would fit and fit it on paper before I would actually place the items. So we use number all the time. And one of the reasons I think the main reason why people have challenges with number, because there are a lot of people who are math phobics or have discomfort with numbers. It's, in my opinion, it's totally because they had a really bad teacher way back. Because numerology, numbers, is like alphabet. You know, in order to speak a language, you learn the letters of the words and you form words and you learn the syntax and the rules of putting the words and the ideas together. That's what arithmetic is, what mathematics is. It progresses. But if you get to a place where you get stuck and there's not a teacher that's good to help you, people get stuck there. And most people are stuck back there. And it's usually somewhere in elementary. It's usually algebra, because that's when you get away from numbers and get into letters and the unknown. And that's a concept that, you know, that's a turning point. If you get past that, you can do all the rest of the math. I went GW, I took advanced calculus, all this math. I did 19 years in the government as a mathematician, never used anywhere near that math.
I guess for me, where I got stuck was I use my fingers a lot, and then I was slow with it. It's not that I couldn't get it.
Right.
It was just that it took me longer.
Time.
Yeah. And so when I was in school, it was all about time and speed. And so I guess I felt slower than everybody. I could get the answer. It just took me longer to get the answer. So that's where I got stuck. It's not really a phobia of numbers.
Okay,
I'm fascinated by it. But it just takes me longer than the others to get it. So now there are different forms of numerology. You have the Chaldean, and then you have, what's the other one?
I don't know, because I don't know what form I learned. Somebody asked me that. I think when I did a talk on numerology, there was a young man in the audience who said, "Well, is that Chaldean, or I do Chaldean?" I don't know what it is.
Okay.
All I know is if you just pick up a basic numerology book, or if you go back to the earliest numerology studies and books, that's the system that I use.
Okay.
So I don't know what it's called.
So you also mentioned that we pick our own names at birth.
I believe that before birth, the soul picks the name.
Interesting. So I have, my name is, you know, Nigerian. And so I have a little story about my name. So initially, my mother had on my birth certificate, Olu.
Okay.
And Bumi being my middle name.
Oh.
So Olu translates into preeminent or God. So I chose to call myself a God at birth, you know.
Yes.
And then my mother said, no. Yeah, they said, no, you can't be a God. You know, she told my dad that they go together.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
So my name changed on my birth certificate later on, and that became one name.
Okay.
However, the book I used is by Lloyd Strayhorn. And I forget which system. He talks about two different ones.
I don't know him.
But they both add up to a seven. Either way, if I leave it by itself I put it together.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say that's not going to change, because the way that you do the numbers, do you want to kind of talk a little bit about how you do that? So the vowels of the name comprise the soul's purpose. And the consonants of the name, you know, this is name at birth, comprise the personality or quiet self. And the expression number or destiny number is the sum of all the letters. So the reason why Olu, separate from Bumi or together, is not going to make a difference is because it's all still part of your name at birth. And the vowels are not going to change and the consonants are not going to change. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
Okay. So, and interestingly, I think in ancient Kemet, the alphabet did not include vowels. So we don't know if Kemet is spelled K-E-M-E-T or K-H-A-M-I-T. People spell it different ways. And I think that's because in those ancient times, the real ancient times, the soul was the purpose of the soul was only to be known by that individual or someone who had gone through initiation in what used to be called the mystery schools. Mm-hmm. And so no one needed to know what your soul's purpose was. Mm. And so they only use consonants.
Hmm.
I think that's very interesting.
Hmm. That is interesting. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a little bit about the characteristics of each number?
Certainly.
You know that offhand?
Mm-hmm.
So you said you start with zero.
Yeah, I include zero. Now, a lot of numerologers don't.
Mm-hmm.
But I include zero as what I call an added God factor or an added spiritual power, I'll call it. And I'll tell you how I do that. So basically, the numbers in our alphabet, the letters in our alphabet correspond to the numbers 1 to 9.
Mm-hmm.
So A to I is 1 to 9, J to whatever it is, R is 1 to 9, and then the last values of the letters. And so when you're doing your numerology, you're computing your chart, what you do is you take all the vowels and take all the letters and write the corresponding number, and then add up all the vowels. And when you get probably a two-digit number, then you add the two digits until you end up with a one-digit number. So all of your numbers are going to end up being 1 to 9.
So starting with zero.
No, 1 to 9.
1 to 9,
right,
zero.
Right.
Okay.
So now, if you come up with a name that adds up to 10, most numerologists will add the 1 and 0 and say that's a 1. For me, I keep that 0 because my experience over the years has been that's another added power that you have. It's not just a 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now, most, again, numerologists only go, you know, separate or add up or keep reducing until you get to one number unless they're doubles,
mm-hmm.
or master numbers. So the master numbers would be 11, 22, 33. Now, again, the old standard numerologers say there are only three master numbers, the 11, which is the visionary, the 22, which is the master builder, and the 33, which is the master teacher. But now we live in very different times. And even with all the digital readouts we have, we see lots and lots of doubles. 44s, 55s, 66. I wish I had brought that information. I did, after MJ and Michael Jackson passed, something happened and I decided to do his numbers. And he has three huge double numbers.
Michael Jackson.
Which logically relates to why he was just a phenomenon worldwide. And, you know, girls would pass out and, you know, the kinds of reactions people had to his music and to him, I can see in the numbers.
Mm-hmm. So what is the power? So you talked about zero. What's the power behind the number one?
So one is the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think of the 1 to 9 almost as a journey, one is the seed. It's the spark. It's the beginning. Two is connecting with another or partnering. So it's the one is the one person, say, and the two is reaching out to another person, which creates a couple.
Mm-hmm.
Three is creation. So it has to do with creativity, creative expression. And it also has to do with the emotions, because the feeling aspect is a lot of where creativity comes from. Four is about building a structure. So you think of four as a box. It is a structure or a foundation, a container, if you will, where you can put that creative energy. So all of this connects.
Mm-hmm.
Five is about change. Once you get a structure and a foundation, because everything changes, then it has to change. The box has to open,
mm-hmm.
and some new experience has to come in. And that is represented by the five. It's also called the number of man, I would say human. And it has to do with the whole five, that mm-hmm. structure of the two arms, two legs, and the head,
mm-hmm.
Which you'll find a lot in sacred geometry. And then six has to do with responding to your environment, responding to your work, responding to people. So it's associated with responsibility and family and responsibility to community, service outside of the self. Mm-hmm. Seven is a number that's kind of sort of challenging to talk about, but not really. It's it represents the intellect, but it really represents the entire balanced, I would say, brain. So most of the time, because we're in a world that's socialized where the masculine or the thinking part of the mind is valued over the feminine, intuitive, imaginative part. But sevens can either be very much intellectually in their head and analyzing, but the power of the seven comes from recognizing the spiritual, the aspect that is invisible, the aspect from which we all come before we manifest into the separate duality of thoughts and feelings, or male and female, or black and white, or up and down, which is why I call Earth School, because here it's all about duality. But to get out of here, if you will, you have to harmonize the opposites. You have to, I call them ma'at it, you have to balance the extremes.
Eight.
So once you can work with the balance of the seven energy, then you can create, you can manifest. Create is associated with three. But eight is a power number. It has to do with success and the executive and leadership and manifestation. It is the infinity sign on its sign. So there are really no limits to the manifesting that comes through that eight energy. And then the nine is the finishing. So you're finishing the cycle. So it's like you go through the various numbers. When you get to nine, there's usually a completion, an ending, a finishing. And so a lot of times nine is associated with loss, because certain things have to be stripped away for you to prepare for the next level. I call it the number of graduation. Because when you get to the nine, you're ready to go to the next level, and the next level is the 10, which is another one, but it's it spiraled up to the next level.
Hmm. Now, are there certain combinations of numbers together? Let's say in a partnership, someone you're dating, should you look at your numbers, and then are there numbers that are more compatible with each other than others?
I would look at the numbers, because this is another level of information. I don't know that. Well, I would say that typically numerologists probably talk about certain correspondences of numbers, like the evens are better with the evens and the odds are better with the odds. I don't really subscribe to that philosophy, because of that position, because it's just like with astrology. You know, a lot of people say, oh, my sun is here, so I want to do this and this. But in astrology chart, you have over 1,400 pieces of information. So while the sun is very important, it doesn't give you anywhere near the whole picture. So compatibility has a lot to do with the choice of the partners. Because there is always free will. That's why I don't agree with these sciences being used to predict what someone is going to do, because you have free will. You could do or not do. So compatibility has a lot to do with your decision to become compatible. Mm-hmm. Every relationship is going to be a challenge, which is, again, why I call it Earth School. Everything on Earth School is a challenge. Mm-hmm. That's why I call it school. Mm-hmm. And so there will always be hurdles and obstacles to overcome. And it really is the individual's decision to be a victor or a victim, if you will, to decide whether or not they're gonna face the challenge or just give up.
Mm. So, and what are the four main numbers that you need to know?
So the four main numbers are the soul number, which you get by adding the vowels in your name at birth. The personality number, I call it the quiet self, where you get that number by adding up all the consonants in the name at birth. The expression number, I call it the destiny number, where you add up all of the letters in the name and their numerological correspondences. And the fourth main number is your life number, life lesson. I call it life lesson. Most numerologists call it life path. Mm-hmm. So the soul tells you, so ideally, the soul comes into the body, again, to learn and to progress and grow and evolve. Now, in our existence, we are taught and programmed to value the personality. And a lot of people make decisions based on their personality. They're led by it. But from a higher standpoint, the ideal is to have the personality be in service of the soul. So the soul's purpose can be very much different from the personality's. And the soul's is the one that needs to be followed. And what happens is we can't really get away from it. We have a lot of leeway on our path, but if we get too far off the path, my understanding is the soul will pull you back. You'll have an accident, you'll have an illness, you'll have something in your life that has you stop the road that you're on and reconsider to get back on path. And we have various times during our lives when that happens. And then the expression number, if you are operating your life where the soul is leading and the personality is serving that, then you have the potential to actualize the full expression of your whole name, which is called the expression number. Now, the life path or life lesson gives you information about what kind of experiences you can expect to have in your life or what kind of people you can expect to have in your life. And it also is a bit of a challenge. It's kind of, this is what your life is, this is what you want to achieve in your life. Not a specific thing, but an expression based on what that number is. And with those four numbers, you've got a lot of information.
And what about the destiny number?
Well, that's what I call the expression.
The expression,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's what most numerologists call the expression. And I did for years, but I call it destiny because it is a potential. An expression just sounds like maybe that you're always doing it, but I don't think that's the case.
Would you like to share anything about your numbers?
No. I'll tell you that I'm a life path of five.
Okay.
And five is the number of change and movement and travel. And in my life, I have been a lot of places, seen a lot of things. And I don't really get bored easily, but when I feel like I have exhausted the experiences of a place or a relationship, I move on. And that's a five energy, kind of like, let's keep going, versus a four, which is that box foundational. A four sticks and builds.
That's your life
no,
path?
No, that's not mine. I'm using it.
Yeah, speaking of the life path.
Right. So those are the people who want to establish a system. And kind of work in that system. Whereas fives want to just move on. It's like, okay, been there, done that. Let's go to the next place. You know, that kind of thing. So I'm a 988.
988.
Mm-hmm. Soul number 9. 8 is my personality number. And 8 is my destiny number. So whenever you have a 9, I don't know if you remember. Well, I don't know if they even taught this when you were in school, but when I was in school, they had all these little things that you could do with 9. 9 is a very, very powerful, special number. So if you add 9 to another number, you always get that number. Okay, so my soul's a 9. My personality is an 8. 9 and 8 is 17. 1 and 7 is 8.
Right.
My expression is an 8. If you multiply 9 by any number, you get 9.
Right, 9 times 9 is 81.
Mm-hmm.
8 plus 1 is 9.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me doing math.
See?
You're not slow.
You're not slow.
Yay, DC Public Schools.
Okay, woo.
Do you find yourself like using numerology a lot when you come across certain situations or anything? Like, oh, I got this ticket on my car. Let me add up these numbers and see what it means.
I don't do it for that. And I don't manifest tickets, thank you very much. Let's just put that out there. I do that when I meet people or with whom I have a special connection or there's something. You know, I don't necessarily consciously decide to do it, but there are times when I meet someone or encounter some situation and I feel like, oh, I need to do their numbers. Yeah, so I do that.
So today being June 19th, this will be a 10 day.
Well, it's not quite that simple. Let me talk about universal and then personal.
Okay.
So the year that you're born is your personal year for the year that you're born. I know that sounds really silly. Let me step back from that. Let me approach it from the universal. So we are in 2011.
2018.
2018. I'm not here. I'm somewhere else. We're in 2018, mm-hmm. and 2018 adds up to...
Wait a minute. Let me do a math. 8, 9, 10.
Carry 1 divided by 3. 11.
That's what I was about to say.
Okay. Yeah. I was trying to give you time, but I didn't know how much time we had. So 11, I mentioned a little earlier, they're a master number. So 11 is a master year, mm-hmm. a master number, I mean. Mm-hmm. So 2011, universally, that means for 2011 applies to 2011. Why am I on 2011?
I don't know.
I don't either. 2018 applies mm-hmm. to all of us. Mm-hmm. So that's why it's called a universal mm-hmm. year. So this is an 11 year. This is a master year. Ordinarily, that number would add up to 2, mm-hmm. not 11. So because it's 11, it's a master number, it's the year of the visionary. So there are a lot of new visions being created and talked about and experimented with now. And the interesting thing I want to say about that is the year that Barack Obama took office was 2009, which adds up to an 11. Every 9 years from then until I think it's 59 adds up to an 11. Mm-hmm. No more twos, they're all 11s. Mm. So to me, that's another of many examples of how we have moved into a higher level of expression universally. Mm. And while you're seeing much more of the energy and ideas of universality, humanity, all kinds of people are coming together to do things they haven't done before. There's a lot of joining and envisioning our lives being different and really participating in that. And on the astrology side, you can see that as we move from the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius, mm-hmm. Aquarius being the 11th sign. Mm-hmm. And also
the 11th sign?
Uh-huh.
How is it the 11th sign?
Aquarius? What are the signs? Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, Leo, Virgo. It's the 11th sign in the zodiac. The 12th is Pisces.
What's the first sign?
Aries.
Aries is the first. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But the precession of the equinox, it goes backwards. So we are looking in the age of Pisces.
Okay.
And now we're moving into the age of Aquarius. Okay. Some say we're here. And so that's very significant because that hasn't happened. Now I figure this out. But I didn't bring that with me. I think the last time we had an 11 universal year before 2009 was 1901, 1910, and then 1901. And I believe 1910 was the year that Jack Johnson became the heavyweight champion, boxing champion. And I believe 1901 may have been when, I'm not sure, W.E.B. Du Bois started the magazine.
The Crisis?
I think.
Was that it?
I think that's it. Yeah. So that's amazing that, you know, 1901, 1910, 9 years later, and then the next 11 master number universal year was 2009. Big difference. But now we're going to have them every 9 years. So there's a speed up. I mean, everyone's experiencing the speed up, but you can really look at what's going on in the cosmos and see the speed up.
So... connect that for me, the cosmos and numerology.
Okay, so cosmos is another name that's used for universe. You know, the larger picture mm-hmm. of what's going on. So the universal year affects all of us on the planet in a general way. We operate under its umbrella in a way. And then on top of that, we each have our own personal year. And that way, you get that number by adding the universal year, 2018, mm-hmm. plus your month and day of birth, and reduce that to a single digit, unless it's a master number. That will tell you what your focus needs to be during this particular year.
Hmm. Interesting. So what books do you recommend for folks to read, to learn about this?
Well, the beauty of this time, another beauty, is the internet. Mm-hmm. And so you can Google numerology and a million resources will show up. I don't know any of the new writers and resources because my study is like 40, 50 years old. So I know the old people, Florence Campbell. I mean, I tend to study, if I were to study the subject again, you know, that subject now, I would go back to the old. Mm-hmm. Because with the internet, you have access to all kinds of information, a lot of which people don't really know what they're talking about. Mm-hmm. But you can Google it. The thing about numerology is that the basics are the 1 to 9, mm-hmm. and those 4 numbers, and master numbers. So you can get that information from pretty much any source, because if you find one that doesn't agree, they're wrong, because this science is so ancient, that information has not changed. Astrology is a little different, because there's so many pieces in the chart. It depends on the astrologer or the system that they're using, how it's interpreted. But numerology, there's not much, you know, space in interpretation. Mm. So it really doesn't matter that much what source you use. But notice that there are some people who use who are intuitives, or some people call themselves psychics, where they may use tarot or numerology or astrology as their front, but they're really just doing readings. Mm. Do you know what I mean? There's a difference. Hmm. So numerology, you can go to any library or any book. I like Florence Campbell because she's old. I like the old stuff. but you can do it on...
That's the author,
Florence Campbell. Yeah, Florence Campbell.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Also, Hans DeCoz, DeCoz, he has an online site that's very accurate and very good. But any numerology site should be good, because you know you can't like misinterpret a one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A one is a one is a one.
Is there a number, like a personality number or a soul number of a person that you can see and you'd say, oh, that's definitely a one, or that's a three person right there?
Not soul, because you can't see someone's soul. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? You can't see why they're here. You can see how they behave. Or you could see the choices that they make, but you don't know what's generating those mm-hmm. choices. So that's not the kind of information I would think you can tell by looking at someone's behavior. Mm-hmm. Especially because, think about it, you know, those 4 numbers are made up of a lot of numbers. Mm-hmm. So your birth date, you've got the month, the day, the year. Each of those individual numbers is a vibration of its own, and they come together. And so with the name, you've got even more that have come together. And the other thing about the name is there will be, what I do is look at what are called missing numbers. So when you lay out a chart of someone's name and look at all the numbers, the 1s through the 9s, some people will not have numbers there present. And so that means that is a missing energy that person needs to consciously work mm-hmm. on in this lifetime.
Mm. So the missing numbers are what they need to work on.
Yes.
The numbers that are present are what they've mastered? Or?
Not necessarily mastered, but they've come in with that particular
energy.
Mm-hmm. And they can use that energy pretty regularly, mm. you know, pretty easily. And they can master it. And if they have missing numbers, that is definitely an area that they are going to face throughout their lifetime on Earth School. Mm. Because it's like having to take the same test till you pass it. Mm.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before we wrap up, mm-hmm. We have a few minutes left. And I'd like to do a fast 5. And it's where I ask you 5 questions.
Uh-oh.
Give me the first answer that pops into your head.
Uh-oh.
Okay. What is your favorite book?
Ooh. Hmm. Hmm.
Thing that pops up in your head.
I don't know.
Florence Campbell, maybe?
No. I have a million books. I am a book person.
Is there
person.
Anything that like when you were, that just pops out, you know what? That's my go-to
I don't
book.
Have a favorite book. I wish I did. I can't help you with that one.
Okay. That's always a tough one for people.
Yeah, my favorite book. I mean, I got a million favorite books.
Okay, favorite place that you've traveled to?
I would say China. I was going to say Africa because I love going to Africa, but I've only been like 8 times. So, but China. What? Actually, Alaska. See, I'm not good at this. I'm a five. I'm all over the place.
I'm most passionate about
the empowerment of women and girls.
The happiest moment of my life has been...
Well, that's funny, because I wasn't going to say that, but what I'm seeing is walking down the aisle to marry my husband. At age 7, I decided I didn't want to be a mother, and I didn't want to be a... What's that other thing? Wife. See? I don't even know the word. That's terrible. And, and I'm not going to say that, because my husband will get me if he's listening. But, that was really... We've known each other 40 years in October, and we've been married 11. I can't believe I said that. I'm blowing my whole reputation here. This is not good.
You're getting soft. You're softening up.
I've always been soft.
That's you're getting the problem. Even squishy now.
I don't want to be squishy.
Too late.
Okay.
The greatest lesson I've learned in life thus far.
Ooh, wow. That's a good question. That it's all good, and it's all about you. And on Earth School, everything that happens because of us, not because of anything or anybody else. And, you know, once I understood that, and now that I see the world through that, it's so much easier. And it's also liberating, because if you know it's all about you, then you can be, you know, that's a victim mentality. If you think it's all about somebody else, then that's a victim mentality. Mm. And as long as you think that someone else has control over you, you are enslaved. Mm. And on the other hand, if you realize that they don't, you are free. Mm. And no paperwork can do that for you.
That's deep.
It is. I like that. Somebody write that down.
I know. You write it down. When is your book coming out?
Oh, God. I don't know. Soon. How about soon? I have like a million books that
you're
I
want to write. You're a numerologist. You're supposed to have a number, a date.
No, it doesn't work like that. I wish it did.
Well, this has definitely been a fascinating conversation, Ms. Humphreys.
Thank you.
Mrs. Humphreys.
Yes.
Thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
You're quite welcome. Mm-hmm. This has been an episode of DC Public Library's All Things Local on Full Service Radio. To learn more about the DC Public Library, please visit us at dclibrary.org or follow us on Twitter or Instagram at DCPL. Thanks again.
Thanks for listening to this program on Full Service Radio, broadcasting and recording from the Line Hotel in Adams Morgan, Washington, D.C. Full Service Radio programming can be accessed live and archived on fullserviceradio.org. Our talk programming is available on most podcast apps like iTunes and Stitcher, and our DJ sets are available on mixcloud.com/fullserviceradio. Full Service Radio features over 30 weekly shows and over 50 local hosts covering every topic imaginable. If you want to be a guest or get involved, email us at info@fullserviceradio.org. Follow us on Twitter at @FullServiceRDO, on Instagram and Facebook at Full Service Radio. Thanks for listening.